Blog Talk Radio.
Greensburg is not gonna, she's not gonna last much longer. You know, she's extremely old.
there has to come a point in which she retires. And it may be now that she feels it's the best time to do it. It may be later, but I don't think it's going to be too much in our distant future to for us to be talking about that in the rear view sense. So with Anthony's leaving, it gives her an opportunity to gracefully bow out, honestly, especially if President Obama gets his appointee across. Now, he gets his appointee across, a Democrat gets elected as president, she retires. That really tips the scale of the court for generations to come, because Obama's been very smart in putting fairly younger folks into on the bench. So they should have some good years left in them before changes are needed again, unless, unfortunately, things like this happen. So now, Justice Scalia was appointed in 1986, which is, forever ago for some folks, but it wasn't that long ago for most of us. Just 30 years. He was appointed in 86 by then President Ronald Reagan. He passed away on the 13th of February. He has 9 children, and they fathered him 30 grandchildren. He was very instrumental in changing the mindset of the court. He came through and was hard pressed about not trying to interpret what the intent of the words of the Constitution meant. Rather, his press was, what do the words say? And let's stick with that. Now, he was appointed, I can't remember unanimously a lot, but his appointment was very easy. Most folks saw him as a moderate. They didn't think he was going to take that conservative of a stance, but he did. He huge twists right and left. So I guess he was Clarence Thomas before Clarence Thomas became Clarence Thomas. So, it, meaning his initial stance took a hard turn after he got on the bench. So he has dissented against a number of cases. He sided with Heller on the Second Amendment protection case. When Heller versus the District of Columbia, if you don't know, the D.C. does not offer their citizens the right to carry weapons and or to have weapons, actually. And it kind of makes sense, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the hotbed of the nation. Every politician is there. Every ambassador is there at some point along the line. Kind of don't want guns just walking around all willy-nilly. That doesn't mean no one has a gun in D.C., but it's not legal at all. So, but he sided with Heller in that case, saying that it is constitutionally allowed under the Second Amendment to have a gun in your home for protection. So that's the way he bent on that. He disliked Roe v. Wade, as I said. He was seen as a moderate. However, he did switch his course once he got in office. So he definitely disliked that law. He dissented on Obergefell versus Hodges, which was the same, which is a same-sex case, which put forth the concept and the fight for same-sex marriage. And he actually dissented in that, wrote the dissent, saying that same-sex marriage is a threat to American democracy. So he was definitely one to tangle with from the bench. He has definitely been a thorn in people's sides, as recently as speaking on affirmative action, in which he also stated that African Americans aren't he contextually it was stated that African Americans aren't as smart as whites, therefore they should not attend the same institutions, and he will be missed for a number of reasons. Respect to him. His body lays in wait at the Supreme Court, actually. And I saw a flash earlier come across the phone. Your phone does everything nowadays. That 3,000 mourners had not lined up to see him. President Obama was not going to see him today. He took place, I believe, yesterday during the private ceremony. He's not going to take place during the public ceremony, nor is he going to the funeral. He's going to miss out on that for some other things. But that is there's a lot of cases that are pending right now, namely the one in Carolina. There was a redistricting law that went into play that actually made it to the Supreme Court. And since the court isn't full, they cannot make any binding decisions. Well, that's not true. With the court not being full, there are two things that can happen. Either the court can say, we don't want to decide anything right now because we're not full, and if we come to a 4-4, everything's going to bounce back to the states and or the lowers anyhow, so we're just going to let it be. Or they can say, we'll take it up and we'll see if we have a majority, and a majority, then we can still continue on. Well, in this case, they said they bounced it back to the lower court, in which the lower court said that the redistricting was not right. It needed to go back to the old map because race was used in the redistricting. So, boom. But there are a number of laws right now that are sort of up in the air until a new appointee comes forward. And I'm saying all that, drawing it out, because as soon as he passed, the Republicans came forward, specifically in the Senate, and said, Mitch McConnell came forward and said that he would not go forward allowing anyone to be appointed to the Supreme Court. It should be the next president's responsibility, not the current president's responsibility. Now, there was a whole big fight going back and forth on that because, you know, this is something that's really unprecedented. You know, very rarely have we had a Supreme Court justice pass away while still on the court. Usually it happens after they leave the court. And seriously, it usually does not happen while the court is in session. Remember, they don't operate a whole lot during the year. So it's not like, you know, time their desk out, but it just so has happened to be that when most of the justices pass away, the court is not in session, so there's an honoring ceremony in which a black robe is draped over their chairs and in front of them, so on and so forth. It's very nice. So for them, being the Republican Party, to jump out in front of this and say, you know, it's the next president's due, that's not true. Like, nor is it true of a quote-unquote lame duck president, one whom is in their last year and last term, and more specifically their last year of the term, to appoint someone, because Ronald Reagan did it as well. So this is not something that's new. This is not something that we've never dealt with. It's very ugly, and it can get even uglier, but it also can play out well, because what it shows for the Democrats, if they play it right, because what it shows is yet all this fever that the Republicans, have put into play about their willingness to govern, their far be it as it may, their claims to, in a sense, their God-given right to be the leaders of the nation, they still have yet to grasp the tenets of leadership, which is you may not agree with somebody, but you still got to work with them. So while there are many senatorial seats that are up for grabs this cycle, this could be used very well for campaign managers out there to get their specific candidates elected if they leverage it well. That has yet to be seen. Most Democrats don't have that killer spirit like the majority of Republicans have, so I'm not convinced that they will go out and exercise and flex this thing the way they should. So when election day cometh, we will find out, without a doubt. But this is definitely a developing story we will continue to watch, because the question is now, who does Obama appoint? What does that person look like? Is it another male? Is it another female? Is it someone that's moderate? Is it someone that liberal, ultra-liberal? Is it someone that's conservative? who does he appoint? And does that appointee then go through the process at all, or do they just get passed over because the Republicans have made this pledge and they've refused to do anything? Now, my thought on it is there will be some semblance of the process that goes through. I don't know if they'll go all the way through with it, but I think they'll do something just to put up a show as to them trying to show strength and effectiveness in governance. But again, I'm not 100% sold on the idea that they will allow anyone to come through, even if that person is overly qualified to sit on the bench, which President Obama clearly made a point of speaking to in a recent interview. I forgot who was interviewing him, but he said, you know, look, I have no problem with appointing someone that I don't agree with 100%, as long as that person is qualified, if not overly qualified, to sit on the bench. The bigger issue, though, is we've had obstructionism limit only lowercase appointments, but now we're talking about obstructionism lowering appointments to the most prestigious court in the land, and we can't have that. You know, there's certain things we just cannot do. And unfortunately, we have a portion of our country who are bent on allowing those things to happen just because they don't like the person that's the president of the United States of America, whom was elected twice to the office. I don't get it, but that's their thing. You know, everything is not for me to get, nor for me to understand. In the midst of all that, as we talk about the president election for the year, the GOP debate happened last weekend as well. Again, some other shit that happens once we go off air. So the GOP debate happens last night, and Trump thumped. And I had to list it like that. I wrote it up in a writer like that because it was off the chain. This cat attacked everybody. Well, that's not true. He really didn't attack everybody this go around. But he did attack Jeb, and he attacked Jeb well. And most people were like, oh, man, he shouldn't have gone there. I disagree. I think he should have gone there. The situation is thus. He got word, obviously, that Jeb's brother was about to hit the campaign trail for him, the former president, George W. And instead of him allowing that news to hit the cycle and everybody eat up on it and talk about it, he got in front of it, and he thumped where Jeb thought he was going to gain strength. He's on that stage, and Jeb is talking about his brother and how great his brother is. He said, oh, 9/11 happened under your brother's watch. All this talk about he kept it safe, and I'm just saying, the worst day, the worst terrorist attack ever in our nation's history happened under your brother's watch. I'm just saying, my mouth was like, holy hell, did this dude just say that? And my mouth was gaped because he's running on the Republican ticket. He's not a Republican. Everyone knows that, but he's running, just like Bernie Sanders isn't a Democrat. Everybody knows that. But he's running on the ticket. Who says that about one of your past presidents, whom was elected very easily the second time, and I still say that was because of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. That was the only reason he was summarily elected the second time. Most people do not, it's the history of our nation, more often than not, we do not change a commander-in-chief in the middle of a fight. We don't do it. It has happened in the past, but more often than not, we do not do that. Most people do not want to see that kind of change. No, not a good look. So who does that when you're in the South? Because they're in South Carolina. W was loved in South Carolina. He has a lot of strong ties in South Carolina. And this cat is on the stage, front and center, and says, your brother fucked up. And because of his fuck-up, it cost us thousands upon thousands of lives. That's what he said. I was like, wow. Blew my mind. It was like that freaking ESPN commercial with the mascot and the guy asking him something, and the mascot just put his hands up to his, like, blew my mind. I was like, Donald Trump is a beast. This dude is not stupid by any stretch of the imagination. He's crazy. Absolutely crazy, but he is not stupid by any stretch of the imagination. So that caused a stare. Cruz and Rubio went at it. Later on, I want to say about 2 days. No, that's not true. I want to say around Monday, Tuesday, the sniffs out an ad running, I believe, in Nevada. Cruz is running an ad against Rubio, in which Rubio is flash screen back and forth between speaking points from President Barack Obama's stance on illegal immigration, and Cruz reading off the same point. Dude, it was brilliant. That is a beautiful, beautiful ad from, Rubio. Rubio reading off the same points. That is a beautiful ad from Rubio to attack, from Cruz to attack Rubio. Lovely. I mean, that is such a soft hand, but with a mega smack behind it, I was like, wow, that was good. That was really good. Now, I don't understand why it took him this long to hit him like that, but it did. But he's hit him now, and it dang sure is going to hurt, because if the Republicans as a whole hate no one more solely, it's definitely Barack Obama. So that is a rallying point for Cruz to start building of and say how Marco is just out of touch, how he's too much of a liberal to be even considered a mainstream candidate and to knock him out the box. Now, what is going to leave us with, I'm unsure, but this weekend truly will tell the tale of the tape. There will be some big names dropping out after this week. I don't know if Kasich is going to drop out after this week. I think Kasich is still going to want to limp along until he gets back home to Michigan. So he might take a hit and limp, but this may very well be the end for Jeb. It really may. I think he might show in South Carolina, and I'm still hesitant on the might show in South Carolina. I'm really not seeing him doing better than fourth. He is doing so horrible. He is just doing so horrible. I don't see him doing better than fourth. I don't. I see it Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Bush, Carson. That's how I'm calling it. I don't. And you know, Trump has such a huge lead right now. I don't see anyone knocking him out the box. But Ted Cruz pulled off a shocker in Iowa, and I'm not putting it against him for him to be able to do it again. You know, a lot of evangelicals down in South Carolina, a lot of folks can, because they do a caucus thing, so a lot of folks can make up their minds right then and there at the last minute, and, you know, it might go a different way, especially since the Pope and Trump got into it the other day. Now, this is the pump coming for Trump, in a way, but Trump's dumb. I said earlier he wasn't dumb. He's crazy, but he ain't dumb. So his crazy ass comes back at the Pope. Are you stupid, dude? First off, this is my man. You don't come after my man. The Pope is my man. I've made no secret of that. I've not tried to hide it. I love this Pope. Pope Francis, me, that's my dude. That is my dude, without a doubt. So the Pope says that he does not think that Donald Trump is a Christian if he wants to build a wall between the United States and Mexican border. So Donald Trump responded saying that those statements were disgraceful. Dude, you beefing with the Pope? Are you serious now? A couple of days later, you know, he got his wits about him, and some people started yakking in his ear, like, yo, you don't go after the Pope. So he starts walking his comments back. So, look. I don't like fighting with the Pope. I think what he said was overhyped by the media. You know, I think it was very soft. It was overhyped by the media. And, you know, I'm not going to fight with the Pope. It's not going to do. So he walks that back. Very rare. Very, very rare for Donald Trump, but he did. But again, This puts him in front of every camera. Everybody's talking about him. Nobody's talking about anyone else. This dude is taking all the oxygen out of the room for everybody else. With everything he does, that's what he's doing. He's taking all the coverage. Everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to talk to him. They all want that gaffe. They all want that next hot quotable, the hot tweet. Whatever it is, they're chasing after Trump. He's keeping all the focus on him. So now, in some backwoods somewhere, let's be honest with you now, in some backwoods somewhere, somebody's sitting around with, well, this guy must not be that bad. All the media hates him, right? Because this has all been set up over the past couple of years. Sarah Palin, liberal media, Michelle Bachmann, liberal media, Santorum, what's the boy's name? Was the former governor down there in Texas? Rick something. It'll come to me. All of these dudes crying about the media and what the media is doing, not remembering that these were their words that came out of their mouths. No, that doesn't count. It's the liberal media and what the liberal media. Now most of the media is owned by it'll come to me. But the cat that owns Fox News, Murdoch. There you go, Murdoch. The cat that owns Fox News. Now, most of the media outlets is owned by this dude, but it's the liberal media that's doing all this. That's doing all this dirt. I don't get it. I don't get that at all. Because again, he owns more news outlets than any daggone body else. But maybe I'm confused because I'm not the smartest dude in the world. But the next story I want to talk about is Albert Woodfox. Now, Mr. Woodfox just walked out of a Louisiana state penitentiary. He did that yesterday. He was part of what is known as the Angola Three. He was convicted in 1972 for killing the prison guard, Mr. Brent Miller. He's been on solitary confinement for more than 40 years. His case has garnered national and international attention because everyone feels that no one should have to be in solitary confinement for that long. However, he was very active in the Black Panther Party in his hay, and he felt like he was being singled out because of that. This was a conviction that was handed out during some very tumultuous times in our nation's history, and no one ever decided to change it, to be honest with you. Now, he walked out after pleading guilty to some lesser charges, but because of his health, because of the fact that a lot of the witnesses in the case, the original case, have passed on and so forth, it was the decision by all parties that was the best course of action was to let the man go. You know, he let him go. So he walked out, and for the first time, he's a free man. Now, I doubt if he lives like that for some time, because I can't imagine being locked away by myself for that daggone long. But for now, he is definitely enjoying the spoils of freedom, and I wish him and his family well as he tries to readjust and enjoy the rest of what life he has to live. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, after being gone for 40-something years, heck, even if he was in his early teens, my brother almost 60 years old. There's only but so many years he has left. That's not to be negative. That's just to be honest. Enjoy your time, sir, and I look forward to hearing much on him and about him, because there have already been some documentaries, but now that he's free, I'm pretty sure there will be some other things coming down the pipe involving him. And I'll look to read up on that and become very much more astute. But speaking of the Panther movement, the formation performance by Beyonce during the halftime show of the Super Bowl has gotten much more backlash than I thought she – I think she actually thought it was going to get, but is getting a whole lot of backlash. So the Black Lives Matter theme weaved into it, according to those who are against it, have frustrated a lot of people throughout the nation. A lot of police organizations are not supporting, providing security for her during her nationwide tour that's coming up pretty soon. In fact, the Miami Fraternal Order of Police have urged a boycott of her tour. There is a lot of conflict about the messaging involved and was it appropriate for someone of her stature to utilize the stage at that level to bring these things to light? Has it made cops' lives more unsafe? So on and so forth. The thing that gets me about all this is we're wrapped up in what an entertainer did at an entertaining event. Yet we sweep under the rug or deny videotape of murders because this is a murder. Folks in Chicago, until election cycles are held, and there was no outcry from the FOP in Miami or anywhere else about that. There is still an investigation pending as to whether the steps that the Chicago police took were accurate and appropriate in securing additional evidence to the shootings that were caught on videotape. So while no one or nothing is perfect, I understand that. I'd still say and hold, though, when you set yourself to a different standard, then you must be held accountable at a different level in accordance with that standard. And if you fall short, that's okay. No one or nothing is perfect. That is okay. But understand that there is a higher degree of standards that you will be held accountable to because you have put yourself in another category. Get over it. Get over yourself. It's going to happen. As in the case with Apple versus the Justice Department. Now, the Justice Department has asked Apple to break into a locked iPhone. And this iPhone belonged to one of the gunmen in the San Bernardino massacre. I mean, remember this happened a couple months ago. Well, Apple said no. Like, yo, we ain't doing it. You know, and understand the reason for them saying no. So they say no to the U.S. Justice Department, right? And let's flip it. Let's just say they say yes. So now if there is someone fighting for freedom or equal rights in North Korea, and they have an iPhone. So the North Korean government comes and says, hey, we want you to help us break into this iPhone. And they say, well, no. It's like, hold on now. There's a precedent that you have already set that you would do this if governments had asked for your help, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, we want you to do that. Now, they have very little leg to stand on to prevent that from happening. Nothing, first and foremost, almost nothing that you do is private. But let's just be honest about that. The Yahoo, let's take Yahoo's case. So in 2007, Yahoo was hit with a $250,000 a day fine by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. If you don't know about these jokers, man, Google them. These are the spooks of the spooks. This is a group of folks whose job it is to meddle. That's not meddle isn't a good word, is it? No, meddle isn't a good word. Oversee, if you will, any country. This court was set up to do that. So this is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Now the hitch to this was they hit them with the $250,000 fine because they wanted some information about some individuals. And then they said if Yahoo didn't give it up, not only the fine would double every day. So Yahoo gave up the information. You know what I'm saying? Even more close in time. In 2013, a federal judge here in the U.S. to Lavabit, which is a small company that houses data and stuff, and they hit them with an injunction because they wanted information that Edward Snowden used, because Edward Snowden used Lavabit to store his information. And they threatened them with a fine because Lavabit wouldn't give over the key to the prosecutor. So Lavabit eventually gave over the key, but they this is funny. So they printed the key out so small on a piece of paper that still it was illegible. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's, hey, man, crazy. Now, I'm pretty sure the feds found a way to read it, but they were like, okay, you want it? We'll give it to you. And they figured a way to decrease the font so small to where it was illegible. You know what I'm saying? So nothing, family, that you do when it comes to these devices is private. Please understand and believe that. This is why we need to talk to our children about sexting, talk to ourselves about sexting. Hell, you might need to talk to your parents about sexting, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, if it's in the cloud, like the movie was about a year or so ago, if it's in the cloud, somebody can get it. You know, hey, at your own risk, you take matters like that into your own hands. But that's crazy. That's crazy. I want to stay within the U.S. and go down south a little bit. So Georgia House Bill 757 is in play fully. Now, this bill passed the Georgia House 161-0. 161-0. Not near soul shows go against the grain on this bill. I'll tell you what it's about short. It passed the Senate 38-14. Now, someone in the Senate has some cojones and said, nah, not feeling this. 14 people had some cojones and said, not feeling this. But it still passed 38-14. Now, House Bill 757, it says it's a freedom of religion bill. Georgia, freedom of religion, but that's what it is. It states that ministers don't have to perform same-sex marriages. Business owners can remain open, can remain closed, I apologize, on Saturdays and Sundays if working on those days conflict with their religious belief. Religious institutions do not have to rent their facilities for services that violate their beliefs, meaning same-sex marriages or union ceremonies or whatever. Now, as it's gone forward, now it's been combined with the Pastor Protection Act and the First Amendment Defense Act. Now, the Pastor Protection Act allows religious leaders to refuse to perform same-sex marriages. The First Amendment Defense Act allows tax-funded groups to deny services to gays and lesbians. This is all about being anti-gay and anti-lesbian. This fight, I thought, was solved by the Supreme Court. Let's go back to the beginning of our discussion today. Because the court is without one person, this is another fight that may make its way back to the channels and back in front of the court. Now, hopefully by that time, there will be someone there, because there are two recesses that will occur while President Obama is still in office. Did y'all hear that? Again, there are two recesses that will occur while President Obama is still in office. And there is constitutional standing and ground for the President of the United States of America to make recess appointments. I will say that again with a smile on my face. There is constitutional ground for the President of the United States of America to make recess appointments to the Supreme Court. There are two such recesses that will happen while the President is still in office. These cats can act foolish if they want to, but in the end, they are going to hurt themselves. Now, I have said that especially if it looks like a Dem is going to win the White House, that I would make, if I was President Obama, I would make the recess appointment if Congress fails to do so in the first case, and then whomever becomes president after I leave, I would make sure they appoint me for the second opening when Greensburg retires. Oh, dog, you talking about making it sweet. Is that not sweet? Can you see it? Can you see President Obama become Justice Obama? Can you see it? Oh, Lord have mercy. Folks would be sick. Folks would be sick. There was a Facebook video I saw yesterday. This little girl was crying when she realized that President Obama's presidency was coming to an end pretty soon. Now, she was 7, 8 years old. But in her lifetime, she's known no president except for President Obama. That's a beautiful thing while you're playing. But it's a beautiful thing. That's my opinion, and I'm entitled to have that. So that would be quite the trick if he could pull that off. I mean, there have been speculation going back and forth about him trying to weasel in, or weasel out, I should say, a third term in office. As we all know, it's constitutionally invalid. It's not even possible. But could you see him making a point of appointing, getting himself appointed to the Supreme Court? Man, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But more specifically, going back to this Georgia case, this is a reason in which we constantly defend and say your local elections are just as important as your national elections. When situations like this arise, when you have 161 folks say yay to something that the majority of folks that live in Georgia would say nay to, but you know what? I'm not even going to say that because that's not true. The majority of the folks that live in or around Atlanta, if you've never been to Atlanta, Atlanta is gay and lesbian central. You hear me? So this is definitely not in the best interest of the residents of Decatur. Not at all. So, yeah, you need to be paying attention and voting in every election, no matter if it's the presidency or not. Definitely need to be engaged in the process. And lastly, because it is me by myself, I want to go overseas for a bit. The United Kingdom has decided to stay in the EU. That's big news. Now, in 2013, the Prime Minister, Cameron, said that he would look at the UK's position in the EU because it wasn't really beneficial to the UK. Now, he's come back and said, renegotiated the Britain's stance in the EU and has come back with a very sweet deal. Reason number one, they still do not give up their currency, and their money beats the euro all the time. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, they have protected their economy by gaining a quote-unquote special status with the EU. So as the EU moves, Great Britain and doesn't necessarily have to, meaning the EU is bringing in all of these refugees and whatnot, and they're saying to member nations, and they're saying that once you come in, we will give you these services in order to take care of you and your family, so on and so forth. Well, Great Britain has said, we don't want to do that. We won't do that. And the EU has signed off on it. Now, understand that they had very little choice in this. Great Britain's economy is second only to Germany's when it comes to member organizations in the EU. So it behooved the EU to say yes. I mean, he could have almost asked for anything and gotten it because the EU is so fragile right now. we know about the problems with Greece. We know about the problems with other nations. Italy is not the most solvent money-wise of nations right now, so on and so forth. So they had to give up a whole lot in order to keep Great Britain, and he came back with it. Now, he has said that he will go forward and with his plan, bring it back, get an up-down vote. If it passes in Parliament, then he will take it to the people for final referendum, and they can say yes or no. But that is where the dogs lie as far as the EU is concerned. And again, you gotta pay attention to what's going on around the world, family. You know, as we talk about gas prices and food and water and any and everything, we no longer live in an isolationist type. Everything is connected. You gotta understand what's happening around you. If you don't, you will miss so much. You will miss so much. You know what I'm saying? And I will end it with sports, because today my Duke Blue Devils played Louisville for a second time. Last go around, we beat them. We eked out a win, but we won. We turned around and we eked out a win against that other team in Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. And we eked out another win. We won. A win is a win. We took a very, very devastating injury against that team, though. And hopefully it will not bite us in the butt today, because we've already been devastated by injury for this season. However, win or lose, I am Duke Blue for life, and I wish my Devils a great day. I wish you all a great day and a great week. We will continue to stay on all the stories that we covered today as we continue to stay on all the other stories that we covered to the end. This election cycle has just gotten a hell of a lot more interesting, though, with the passing of Jed Scalia. So from us to you, please have a wonderful day. If you're in the Northeast, please enjoy this great weather. We're going to have it today and tomorrow. If you're not, please enjoy and be safe throughout the weekend. Next weekend is CIAA. We will skip that because it's going to be mad crazy down in Charlotte. However, we will still be here live in effect for you all to bring you the latest stories for this week. Be safe, family. Thank you much for your time. Enjoy. Peace.